The title of the message this morning is The Journey to Jerusalem. As we look at these passages of Scripture this morning, we read Matthew 21, 1 to 11. This is also recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's recorded in Mark chapter 11, 1 to 10. It's recorded in Luke chapter 19, 28 to 44. And also it is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. As we look at these passages of Scripture, they must have been very important to our Lord that they were recorded in all four Gospels as such. The key element that we want to look at this morning is this. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet." And John records also in John chapter 12, he says, "The disciples didn't understand all these things at first, but when Jesus had been resurrected and went into heaven and was glorified," it says, "then they remembered all these things that were written." It's important for us to understand this morning why Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and all the things that are written in the Old Testament must be fulfilled as God said they would be, because it is His word. Let's go to prayer. Father, we just thank and praise You that You are God, that we can trust You, and that You do not change, and Your word is settled in heaven forever. Help us this morning as we look into Your word to see Your truths. May You do a work in and through our lives, and may You speak through me to our hearts through the power of Your word, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we hear and understand that which You have for us this morning. And we give You praise in Your precious name. Amen. If you look at Matthew chapter 21, you notice that it says in verse 4, all these things are fulfilled, spoken by the prophet. Verse 5, it says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of a foal of an ass." This is taken out of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. Also, what our brother Nate read this morning out of Psalms, if you notice in verse 9, it says, "They cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Mark writes a very similar thing. He says, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Luke writes, "Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then also John writes, "Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then it says, again, quoting the scriptures from Zechariah. All these things have to do with fulfilling the scriptures that God wants us to understand. When He wrote these things, they were for us to know that they would be taking place. The key to the event of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we call a triumphal entry is this. In Luke 18:31, it says, "He took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." Now remember what our Lord points out here. All these things are written shall be accomplished. Not only was he going to ride in on a colt as king, but he was going to the cross. But I want you to notice something in Luke chapter 19, and I don't know if you have your Bibles and desire to turn to it or not, but if you want to look at it in Luke chapter 19, verse 11, it says this, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem," it says, and then it says this, "and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." They chose some of the scriptures that were written in the Old Testament, and they chose not to believe or choose or listen to other parts of the scriptures that were written in the Old Testament. So what we want to do today is we want to look at the journey to Jerusalem. And as we look at the journey to Jerusalem, we see this. God knew that the kingdom was going to be, he was going to be rejected as king. I want you to think about this journey to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ was God the Son before he ever was born. He always was the Son of God. He was the Son of God before the creation of the world. In John chapter 17, he says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Understanding that all this that God says in the scriptures was fulfilled. God's never taken by surprise on anything. God has planned all things for his glory. He knew when he created Adam and Eve that Adam would sin and so would Eve. He knew that there would be a need for a Savior. Jesus Christ said, "I will, the Son will go and die and pay the sin debt for the world," before the creation of the world ever took place. God knew who would believe, who would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God knew who would reject those and would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God knew all these things, and he planned them accordingly. And we can follow the scriptures and see how he did this. All this of the triumphal entry was for one complete purpose, fulfillment of scripture, and demonstrating that God is in total control, that he has all power and authority to fulfill everything down according to exactly what he presented in the Old Testament to us. I want you to think about something. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem a number of times. He went to the feast continuously. He was there during even his childhood days as well as his ministry to the feast. So he was going back and forth to Jerusalem. But his hour was not yet come. And that is the part that we need to remember. He usually went there sometimes in kind of secretive, so that the people wouldn't take him and attempt to put him as king by force. John 6 says this, "This is a truth that the prophet that should come into the world by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone." They wanted to make sure that he was their king. They wanted to force him to become their prophet and king. And it was not God's timing. It was God's timing when God set the time was right. Remember, when he was going into Jerusalem, they said to him, the Pharisees said to him, "Tell these people to stop praising him and calling him their king." And our Lord said this. He said in Luke 19:40, "I tell you that if these hold their peace, the stones will cry out immediately." God says that his word is going to be fulfilled. This is a time when our Lord entered into the Jerusalem, riding on a colt, fulfilling prophecy, that our Lord was totally rejected then as king. Often when he went to Jerusalem, in a number of different places, it's recorded in Scripture, they took up stones to try and kill him. They tried to run him off a precipice of a hill. They took counsel how to put him to death. They didn't like the idea of what he was preaching. And yet, when his journey came to Jerusalem, it says that everybody come out praising him. And even the scribes and all were saying, what should we do with this? Because they didn't want him to be their Messiah king. They wanted him to take Rome off their back. Now, I want you to think about something. The Old Testament shows us some things. Here in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord says to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and go into a land that I will show thee. And in Genesis 12:7, the Lord said to Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. God promised Abraham that he would give all the land that Abraham journeyed in to him and his heirs. When they were coming into Jerusalem, when he was coming into Jerusalem at this point in the triumphal entry, the Romans were in charge. They did not have possession of the land like they should have. They lived there, but the Romans were in charge. It is here in the Old Testament scripture that we see a number of things take place that God is showing us about this triumphal entry. Notice in Genesis chapter 14, there is a person called Melchizedek. He's called the king of Salem. Abraham goes out and meets the king of Salem. His name means king of righteousness, and it also means king of peace. This Melchizedek, Jesus Christ is a priest after. Hebrews 7:1 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, it says, met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of kings, to whom Abraham gave a tenth of all the part of he had. And it says he is the king of righteousness, Melchizedek, and after that also he is the king of Salem, or the king of peace. God called Abraham to go in the midst of the land of Canaan and take over the land. God called Abraham to dwell there. The city that God calls his dwelling place, it says in Psalm 72:6, Salem is his tabernacle, his dwelling place in Zion. In 2 Chronicles 6:6, God says, I have chosen, it says, Jerusalem. I want you to see, God chose these places. Remember, this is under the Roman rule when our Lord entered in. We see all this about what took place with Melchizedek, and we also see that Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a priest. He's also a king. There's no other place in Scripture where we have a priest as a king. They are either a priest or they are either a king. Melchizedek was, and our Lord is priest and king. And that's saying so in Hebrews. And then we see the people during the triumphal entry were not looking for a priest and a king. They were looking for a king to take the rulership of the Gentiles off their back. They thought surely that the Lord was coming to set up his kingdom. I want you to think about something. Later on, Jerusalem, all right, had another king come in, and his name was Adonijah in Joshua, and his name meant master of righteousness. And this king had to be killed. Joshua had to kill this king. And after Joshua had killed this king, it talks about the fact that the next thing that happens here, the city of Jerusalem is under tried by Gentiles. And the city of Jerusalem had been under the control of the Gentiles until King David came along. And in 2 Samuel, we see where King David comes and takes back the city of Zion and makes it his home place where he is king. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign under the kingship of David. Not take over and throw off the Roman rule. We see that the city of Jerusalem then was, after David had took it, then what happens is that when David is dies and his son takes over, and then when his son takes over, the kings that come along later are evil, wicked kings, and God has to destroy Jerusalem. And it's at that point again, when God destroys Jerusalem, and the children of Israel are led into the Babylonians and taken by the Chaldeans, Jerusalem then again is under the control of the Gentiles. During the time when our Lord walked in to Jerusalem and rode in on a donkey, it says that they said to Pilate when he was put on trial, "We have no king but who? Caesar." They rejected the Lord. I want you to think about something. They were fulfilling Scripture. They seen that our Lord was not going to take over the rulership, set up his kingdom, and get rid of Rome, and so they got upset about it. And they decided what we need to do is put him to death. Well, isn't it something? God says all these things took place. We can look at the triumphal entry and say, why? What happened? It was not the hour of our Lord yet. And we see that the Son of Man came in Matthew 18:11 to seek and to save that which is lost. The kingship is still going to be set up later. He first had to fulfill Scripture and go to the cross. Jesus came and was preaching, "I'm going to go to the cross." He told the disciples that. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "Then began Jesus to show to the disciples how he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Jesus had to fulfill the plan of redemption that he started out with at the very beginning before the world ever even took place. When he brought in creation, when Adam and Eve sinned, he had a plan already set up for the redemption of mankind. Jesus had to fulfill prophecy. It says in Psalms 22, "I am poured out like water. My bones are out of joint." And it talks about Jesus Christ on the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, "He's despised and rejected a man of sorrows. He hath borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. We esteem him stricken, smitten of God." What happened to these scriptures in the Old Testament that the people heard and knew in their teachings, and yet they wanted only the king, not the Savior? And it's interesting to realize when they're hollering and crying out as our Lord is walking or riding into Jerusalem, they're crying out, "Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save now. Save us now. Save us now. What were they asking? Save us from rule of Romans? They weren't interested in save us from our sin. And yet it says the Lord Jesus Christ's message was repent and believe the gospel. Yet they were not listening to it. They were fulfilling prophecy, though, out of Psalm 118 and Zechariah chapter 9. They wanted a king. And Jesus said he perceived that they were going to take him by force and make him a king. Jesus came as a humble king. He didn't come as a king like most kings would, on a horse, a white horse, all beautifully decked out with all his people, saying, I'm now here to conquer and take over. He came lowly, humble, and meek on the colt of an ass that was never even ridden on. And notice, the colt never caused an issue. Our Lord was in control the whole time. He came in humility. He came as the Savior. He didn't come as the conquering king at this time. He wanted them to see what he was doing. Then he goes out, it says, after he entered in, and then as quickly as they were shouting it was all over about them being the king. And it says in Matthew 23, he goes out and he cries, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent unto thee, how often, he says, would I have gathered thee together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Your house is left on you desolate. What did they do when they were no sooner crying out that they wanted a king? Luke 23 says, they brought him in, arrested him, and they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Even everyone who tried and couldn't figure out, what did he do? Pilate said, why? What has he done? Then when Pilate was going to put him on the cross, he put on a cross that this is their king. He said, behold your king. And they say to the priest, and the priest say to the Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. They didn't want a savior. They wanted the rule of Rome taken off their back. The funny part is, when they take him and are crying out, crucifying him, they were fulfilling scripture without even realizing what they were doing. And this is where we come to the final journey to Jerusalem. Remember, I pointed out to you that Jerusalem was destroyed in the Old Testament. Again, in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed after our Lord was raised from the dead and was resurrected back into heaven. And our Lord told him about the fact that the rejection of him would bring about the destruction of Jerusalem again. Jerusalem is going to be called now a cup of trembling. And you see today, where is all the focus of the world? Jerusalem. What are we going to do with Jerusalem and Israel? Continuously, that is a thing that's in the news. And it will continue to go on until God decides that he will come back as their king and rule and reign. And it says in Zechariah chapter 14 that, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward the east and towards the west, it says, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half the mountain towards the south. And it says in Zechariah 14, verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. He's going to finally enter in to Jerusalem triumphantly. And it says in Zechariah 14, verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up year to year and worship the King, the Lord of hosts. It was not his time. He was fulfilling Scripture. And they did not realize crucifying him, they were fulfilling Scripture. But one day it says that in Revelation, and I want you to go and look at this, Revelation chapter 19, if you will. It says in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 19, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, what? Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his serpents at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, praising the Lord. In verse 11 of chapter 19, notice, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a two-edged sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture King of kings and Lord of lords. He is going to fulfill Scripture. He is going to come back and rule and reign, as they were expecting him to do when he entered into Jerusalem, and they were shouting, Hosanna to the King. And he is going to set up, and if you want to look at it, in Revelation chapter 21, and he says, in chapter 21, verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And it says in there, in verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. As we see all the people that are in many churches today celebrating the entrance of our Lord into Jerusalem and all that took place on what they call the triumphal entry. Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know that your name is written in the book of life, one day you will be coming back with the Lord, and he will enter into Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign, and we will shout and sing hallelujah to the King who reigneth forever. What an excitement. Amen.